Welcome to Health Connections. This is Dr. Carol Myers from the University of Tennessee College of Nursing. Today's topic is improving the patient experience. The U.S. healthcare delivery system is the costliest in the world. Despite spending approximately 50% more than the next closest country among a comparator group of 10 other wealthy, advanced democracies, the U.S. has relatively poor outcomes and there are major disparities among groups. The Institute for Healthcare Improvement, called by some IHI, developed what we call the Triple Aim Framework. The framework describes an approach to optimizing health system performance. That's what we'll be talking about today. The three aims are improved health of populations, reduced per capita cost of healthcare, and an improved patient experience. Today, I'm joined by Dean Victoria Niederhauser of the University of Tennessee College of Nursing to focus specifically on the patient experience. Dr. Niederhauser is a board-certified nurse practitioner, a fellow in the American Academy of Nursing, and an executive board member of the Beryl Institute. This is a global organization dedicated to improving the patient experience through collaboration and shared knowledge. Welcome, Dr. Niederhauser.
Thank you. It's great to be here, Dr. Myers.
How would you define, Dean Niederhauser, the patient experience?
Well, you know, Dr. Myers, patient experience is defined differently by different people. I really like the definition that says the sum of all interactions shaped by an organization's culture that influences patient perceptions across the continuum of care. These organizations have a goal of changing healthcare by advancing an unwavering commitment to the patient experience.
Sounds like very audacious goals. Let's break it apart a little bit for our listeners. What do you mean when you say all interactions?
At the core of what we do in healthcare, we're human beings caring for other human beings. Throughout a person's experience with healthcare, they interact with many people, like the doctors, the nurses, the lab technicians, and even the housekeeping staff.
Anyone that a patient encounters during their care.
Yes, that's correct.
Right. Okay, culture. How are you defining culture in the context of the patient experience?
Well, organizational culture refers to what an organization is, who they are, how they act, what they value, and really what they think is important. And these things define the expected behaviors of that organization. Let me give you an example. A hospital committed to improving the patient experience started a program recently called One Thing Different. They asked the frontline staff, those who interact with the patients, to do one thing different each day in their routines with patients and families. They shared these one things on the organization's website so that others could get ideas from them. A transporter, who initially thought that he wasn't an important part of the care team, realized one day that he was the last person who saw patients before they were wheeled into the operating room. When he placed his hand on the patient's shoulder and said, "You're in good hands," he could feel the patients relax under his touch.
So how does the patient experience and perceptions of the patient differ from what we've long talked about, which is patient satisfaction?
That's a great question. With patient satisfaction, we ask patients whether their expectations about their healthcare encounter were met. But we all know that expectations vary across people, and the ratings of the same care can vary significantly. To assess the perceptions about experiences, we must ask the patients whether something that should have happened actually happened and how it happened. This way, we're measuring the same thing across all patients. You know, healthcare organizations may think that they know what the patients want and need to have a positive experience. However, that's really not always the case. We need to engage a diverse range of voices to understand the needs of patients and families from their perspective.
Let's go back to the definition we were looking at, all interactions, talking about the culture of organizations, and you also mentioned continuum of care. Could you explain what you mean by continuum of care?
Absolutely. A patient's experience might include ambulance travel, emergency department treatment, radiology services, the actual hospitalization, the discharge services, the follow-up with the healthcare provider once they are discharged, and even the interaction with the billing department. Poor experiences in even one segment of this continuum can affect the whole care episode and their experience.
I'm still curious about the Triple Aim and the Barrel Institute, where you're on the board, talking about the patient experience. Could you help me understand why focus on the patient experience?
Well, let me share with you two critical reasons why we focus on this. One is providing empathetic care to people at their most vulnerable times is the right thing to do. In a book written by Dr. Rana Adwish called In Shock, she's a physician who turned patient in her own intensive care unit. She said, there are items left at the door when one enters the hospital. Chief among them are comfort, a bit of dignity, and any semblance of control. The second is that failing to meet patient and family needs and expectations is costly. Currently, a portion of the reimbursement for health services is tied to patient satisfaction. In the one thing different example I mentioned earlier, hospital staff not only felt more encouraged and empowered by being able to positively impact patients' lives, the bottom line costs improved.
I read in preparation for my conversation with you, Dr. Niederhauser, that one way we can think of what is needed is instead of as nurses or other healthcare providers asking, what's the matter? We should ask patients and family, what matters most to you? How are these two different from a patient or family member's perspective? Could you speak to that, please?
Absolutely. What matters most to you gets at really the heart of what we call patient-centered care. We seek to understand from the patient and family perspective, what they value most. And once we're aware of their priorities, we can focus our efforts and place emphasis on those things while delivering care. It empowers and gives control to the patient and families.
We always try to translate what we talk about on Health Connections to what our listeners can do. How can they act on the information that we impart? So what can individuals do to enhance their patient experience?
You know, there's a growing body of evidence that demonstrates that patients who are more actively involved in their healthcare experience have better health outcomes and lower costs. As a result, many healthcare organizations are employing strategies to better engage the patients, such as educating them about their conditions and involving them more fully in making decisions about their care. One example is the inclusion of patients and families during daily rounding, where the healthcare team discusses patients' progress at the bedside and the family and patient can fill in the gaps in the information about the patient's history or the current condition. This can lead to a better experience. Back to the example of One Thing Different. The physician who created the program shared the story of a child with an unexplained fever and leg pain who she saw in the emergency room with her grandmother on a very busy evening. The grandmother had sought care for the child at four other emergency rooms in the previous week, where the x-rays were negative and the child was sent home to follow up with their pediatrician. Unsatisfied with this diagnosis, they sought care for the fifth time at this emergency room. The physician did the physical exam. It was negative. The physician was on the verge of sending this child home when she made a decision to do one thing different. She asked the grandmother what her greatest concern was. The grandmother immediately responded that she feared that her grandson had cancer. A light bulb went on. The presentation of this child, unexplained fever, leg pain, and normal x-rays could be cancer. The doctor obtained blood tests, and sure enough, the boy had leukemia, a type of cancer of the blood. The physician would have missed this diagnosis, as the other four had, if she hadn't engaged the grandmother in the care.
Wow. As we think about the patient experience, what are some barriers currently to enhancing or improving the patient experience?
Well, there are several barriers that we're all working on in healthcare. First of all, we need to really understand what it takes to improve the patient experience and take corrective action as soon as those are recognized, not waiting for processes and procedures to change. The second area is really around looking at those processes and procedures because sometimes they're not patient-centric. They're more healthcare provider-centric, meaning that they're more at a convenience of the healthcare provider rather than what the patient would want. The third thing is there's a lot of regulation in healthcare, and we spend a lot of time working in compliance with these regulations, and many of these do not contribute directly to the patient experience. So looking at those critically is important. A fourth area is time. We understand that providers are very busy, but we need to try to figure out how we can free up some time so they can spend the time that it needs to make that human connection with our patients and families. Great quality care requires these partnerships and these relationships to be built. And finally, cross pressures are very real and stand in the way of transforming our patient experiences.
Improving the patient experience is an important goal in its own right. It is even better that there is substantial evidence of an association between aspects of improved patient experience and improved healthcare processes and outcomes. Things like adherence to treatment plans, hopefully jointly developed between the patient and the provider, improved patient safety, which is a major healthcare issue, and lower utilization of unnecessary care. However, we also know that many factors other than the patient experience can influence processes and outcomes. As Brandon, my co-host, and I frequently say, it's complicated, it's not just one thing. But thank you today, Dr. Niederhauser, for this excellent discussion on a timely and important topic, improving the patient experience.
Thank you for the opportunity, Dr. Myers.
And then to our listeners, thank you for being with us today to hear Health Connections. Brandon Hollingsworth, my co-host, and I welcome your feedback. It makes us better.